Hey y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Paik.
And this is Star Wars TV Cast, episode 65.
This week, we are covering Skeleton Crew, season 1, episode 6, titled Zero Friends Again. Man, what an episode. It's the shortest of the season, but it packed a lot into those, like, 34 minutes. And, excited to talk about it. Sorry for listeners, like, right on the ball every week. Sorry, we are releasing like a day late this week. Holidays and all the fun stuff. And then Daphne decided to get sick, so that's fun.
Yeah. Too. And you know, I really wanted to talk about this one because I feel like we've kind of been waiting for a KB episode where we can learn more about why she has the visor and what happened to her. And I feel like we got some of those answers. And I also really like how we had these two groups of two with the kids. Wim and Neil, best buddies. Fern and KB, best buddies. But now, some things in this episode kind of made it seem like a foursome now. I'm super excited to talk about this one. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
Absolutely. Can't wait to dive in. So, we really enjoyed this one. Not a lot to say in the realm of general thoughts that we haven't. So, we'll be back in just a little bit, and we'll hit you with our thoughts on this episode.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, and we are back.
Yeah, I guess we just jump right in. Just slide on down the chute right into the trash heap and go for it.
I really did wonder if they were going to be sliding into the trash or where they were going. It was kind of interesting how it ended up. They were just basically sliding out into the trap. I mean, I guess it was kind of trash.
Yeah, just like a junk heap, a lot of old droid parts and ships and ship parts and just all kinds of metal and electronic refuse and just junk, a little like landfill junk heap kind of spot on Lanupa.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we can go into that as kind of my first point. And it kind of ties back into what you were saying earlier the foursome, the group there, is talking about their mission as a whole before and after the split. So I'm kind of skipping over a big middle part, but that's okay. We'll circle back to it. Which the point that I titled "Into the Trash," lost on Lanupa. Because, yeah, luckily Wim triggered the one trap that wasn't deadly, I assume. just kicks them all down the trash chutes into a snowy, trashy winter wonderland. And that's where they're at.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting how that was where they ended up. Especially because, remember when they landed the ship, the lady that was greeting them thought it needed to go to waste disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, maybe the whole ship should go there. The kids, I know they've escaped down there, but, you know, the ship should probably be there, too. Lo and behold, what happens later?
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up deciding to take it there. Yeah. yeah, they crash down. KB has a little scare. We'll talk about KB, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them making sure they're okay for the most part at the moment. You know, gathering themselves, their composure. And then the X-Wings swoop in, I'm assuming... Security and people at Lanupa called them when the pirates came in last episode, blasting their greeters out of the sky.
they were just doing their job. They were just welcoming everyone to Lanupa.
Yes. It was a little late there. The pirates still managed to escape with Jod and 33. Not the kids. They are stranded. X-Wings completely ignore them. And so, yeah, our little friends are stranded, except they can get back to the landing pad way up there. The Onyx Cinder is still hanging out for the time being. Yeah, and they have to make up that plan. So Fern is immediately dead set on, we're climbing back up to the ship. And then Wim, on the other hand, sees all these little trash crabs and is like, oh, we can follow them and they'll take us to somebody who can help us. Fern, it's automatically like you see that, like, the way that these characters are different. Fern's like, well, we're all on our own, and all on our own, and I'm making the call, and we're doing this, and here's what we're doing. And Wim's like, let's find an adult. So there's like, that's the difference between them immediately.
Yeah, I think it was a good example of how different those two characters are. Because I know I've said before that they do have some similarities, but the way that they approach things is different. And I think each of them could learn from each other. Like, how to, you know, Fern could scale back a little bit of her rigidness when it comes to making decisions. Wim could kind of maybe not be doing things quite on a whim all the time.
Right. I mean, he even calls it out later in the episode. He's a little overly trusting of people a lot. Mm-hmm. And even here, he's like, well, look, they talk, they're intelligent. And it's like, because intelligent always means friendly, Wim. You've definitely never experienced anything to prove that to be false ever, right, buddy?
No, never. I do have to tell you that I think the trash crabs were adorable in their little strange built from waste ways. They were very cute.
Yeah, they seemed harmless for now.
Mama wasn't quite so harmless.
Yeah, it's like they're an interesting like creature. I'm trying to remember if I've seen them in the Star Wars universe before. It's possible. I'm not like recalling them right away, but yeah, because they're basically like alien like hermit crabs. Like they're actual living little creatures, but then they form their shells and things out of whatever trash and metal pieces and things that they find laying around. And
yeah, the mother crab reminded me of another crab in a movie we covered for Run for Your Lives. And I know you know where I'm going.
Yeah, long time ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then this argument and not being able to get on the same page of what to do for different reasons. KB has her own personal reasons and Wim has his mindset here and Fern's got her mindset somewhere else. And there's that split that happens is when KB says, you know, I'm with Wim, and that look on Fern's face, you know, et tu, KB?
Fern was not ready to hear that from her. They've been ride or die besties since we've known them.
Yeah. But KB knows that climb's not going to work for her. There's a lot of, from all the characters, and saying one thing to hide a feeling of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so KB, she knows that her Augs and her systems are having a hard time, and she's afraid, if I make that climb, I'm going to get halfway up and then shut down, and then mm-hmm. I fall to my death. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm not suited up for that right now. But she has this fear of putting that on Fern, or the way that Fern would react to that. So instead, she plays it up as, I just agree with Wim. I think his idea is better for now, and I should do that. But then on the other hand, we see Neil goes with Fern, which splits the group in not the way that we usually would expect. And Neil, as he's walking off to Wim, says, "It's groups of two are a good idea. So we should, you know, I should stick with her." But secretly, I think he doesn't like Wim's plan, and he's also too scared to say so.
Well, he has been on the other side of Wim's plans that mm-hmm. have gotten them into a ton of trouble before. And so he probably didn't want to deal with that again.
Right. But he just saw KB and Fern arguing, and he was like, well, I don't want to follow that up, but then fighting with my own best friend, so... Mm-hmm. Fern needs somebody to go with her, so groups of two, so I guess I'll go that way. But I think, again, underlying that, I feel like he was not having these trash crabs, and he was not enjoying Wim's plan, and so he took that as a way. He's like, I'm going with Fern, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a good idea, because I think Fern, there were some things that Fern really needed to learn about other people and their limitations. And her own expectations of them. And there were things that happened on their stairway to heaven that I think she started to realize. Because when they all get back together, they've all grown. And it's not like they were apart for very long.
Yeah. I like that this episode like had that whole arc within it that we saw there, like the tension, we saw them split, we saw them angry or frustrated with each other, deal with their own hardships separately, realize the importance of having each other and taking care of each other and understanding each other's limitations, to where when they come back together, like everything is kind of forgotten or forgiven and understood, that they have a better understanding of time apart gave like some understanding, and I think that was really cool, and it gave us some duos that we haven't seen before, really, that were really fun.
Yeah, there were some moments on each of the little excursions that made this episode just so strong, and the emotion that you got from this episode, if you put yourself in their positions, you realize that there's a lot of pressure on each of them. And the way that they've dealt with it, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to deal with.
No. Yeah. Fern and Neil almost get to the top. They're getting close. And then the trash haulers start taking away the Onyx Cinder. And it's like, oh, gonna have to pull off some, like, action movie stuff real quick. jump. Which is fun, because then on the other end, the trash crab plan did not go the way Wim wanted it to at all, and find themselves in a scary predicament there. And then Fern and Neil coming in hot. Fern's taken over the controls of this trash hauler thing, and it's like driving the whole thing over, and it's just, it becomes this wild, like, action movie, insane scene, which is also fun. Just throw in all these, like, little tropes and little things that this show does so well.
Yeah, it was very Mission Impossible. Like, they were on this adventure, or, I mean, they've been on this adventure for however long, and I feel like this gave an opportunity for the kids to really get into something that probably was a lot of fun to film.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. Again, kind of going back a little bit with Wim, I mentioned this before, but when the trash crabs, the big giant mama trash crab or whatever shows up, how come I'm always wrong about who's the good guy? And I'm like, oh, poor dude. Like, you're, but I look at it, I was like, you're trusting, and you try to see the good in people and things, and that is a good thing. You need to hone it a little better.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, just take a deep breath. Don't be so quick to run off in your direction that you think you need to go. Take a little more time to get to know those around you before you follow them.
Yeah. They swing through, pick up Wim and KB, and then we get another hard landing in the trash and snow. We're getting good at falling.
That may have been the line of the episode, just because after everything that had just happened had pulled me into this more intimate emotional state, I needed that to, like, pull me back to the action-adventure part of the show.
Yeah. And then that reunion with the four kids, especially Fern and KB, after their argument before, was really great. I'm just, like, looking at it and, like, my eyes start getting a little watery, and I yell at my screen and go, stop it.
Stop.
I've already cried enough in a 30-minute episode. No more. No more. But
yeah,
psyched to be able to help, and he was just amazed by Fern and Neil's heroics, and
Neil,
really cool.
Neil was being heroic.
Yeah.
But Wim also had a heroic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're learning different ways of being able to feel good about themselves and doing things.
Somebody posted on Blue Sky, and I should have copied it down. I wish I could give the user their credit, because I was just looking through Skeleton Crew stuff the other night after watching and posting something of my own over there about the episode, which is also in my notes, so I'll say it. But no, somebody posted a really cool thing with paraphrase, and again, I wish I could credit you, but if you're hearing this, which you're probably not, but hey, if you are, you know who you are. Somebody awesome, so I'm not taking credit for this. But said, last week, Wim thought the way of being a Jedi was through, you know, being awesome and having a lightsaber, and you saw how that worked out for him.
Mm-hmm.
This week, he learned the true essence of a Jedi is compassion and caring and taking care of those that you love and that need you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's really powerful. That's really cool.
You could tell that he was really scared, because KB was basically shutting down right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only one that was there to be able to help. And it wasn't just the things they did. It was things that they said to each other. Like KB and Wim, the dialogue that they had was...
Oh, yeah.
It was, it brought all the feels. All the feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of my point, was talking about them all together. But if you have another point, or as you were kind of leading into, that next point is one I also have, if we want to talk about women, KB. But I'll let you steer this holler anywhere you want it to go.
You know what? At first, I was going to move to Jod, but no. We're going straight to Wim and KB. Yeah. I want to keep this good feeling thing going. So let's go ahead and talk about, you know, Wim and KB and their time together. Because I don't think, I mean, before they ended up on this adventure, it's not like Wim and KB had ever really spoken.
No. That was really interesting because, they didn't know each other that well. Like, KB was Fern's friend, and she even, I mean, the title of this episode, this whole, like, well, Fern doesn't have the patience for this, and she's going to give up on me, and basically then I have zero friends again. So we learn, I mean, as far as KB is concerned, Fern is her only friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's learning differently by the end of this episode.
Yeah, she
Wim
is.
And Neil are there for her. Even Wim even follows it up. It's like, well, you can hang out with me and with me and Neil, you know, like, which I love. But so it's always been that way. It's like KB just like, well, she's Fern's best friend, and that's all she has is Fern. And then Wim, kind of on the other hand, seems to not really have a lot of other friends either. It's kind of him and Neil versus the world over back on AT-AT. So we're seeing these two kids who barely know each other by happenstance finally having this moment and realizing, like, oh, like, we're friends, aren't we? Like, we've definitely been through some things together and have each other's back.
I think, given what they've been through and how they've had to pull together and forge this trust with each other, even though I don't think they realize that they've had to put all that trust in each other. They've just kind of been flying by the seat of their pants to stay alive. And keep going forward. And I think that they themselves don't really understand how much they've grown together.
Yeah.
And then we get these conversations where KB is talking him through what he needs to bring and what he needs to do to save her because she's shutting down. And we don't know exactly what the accident was. I don't think that caused her to end up. It seems like she's paralyzed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. I've got like separate points of like KB and Wim and then just KB, but we can even just throw it all together because, yeah, just to take that quick little tangent on, yeah, KB has quite the rough episode overall.
She does. Yeah,
we learn not everything, but bits and pieces. This, you know, these cybernetic attachments and her augments, her augs that she has turned out to be crucial to her life. Mm-hmm. That Fern mentions an occipital link to help her function, that like we need to reset that. And then like her augs are corroded, so like her body's not moving. And using the occipital link specifically, those who know, like an occipital lobe is what's responsible for visual processing in the brain, which makes sense for the visor and things like mm-hmm. she needs extra help with certain things. But all of her augs are pretty whacked out right now. So,
and she was concerned when they got there.
Yeah.
Like all the different things.
With the corrosion
things.
Yeah. And the steam, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, she was really concerned about that. And I do feel like maybe the others kind of brushed it off a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder
because they probably didn't understand.
Yeah, I wonder how much she's disclosed or talked about her situation with Fern, even as close as they are. If that's something that they really have ever talked about too much. Because we learn, I mean, these augs are keeping her brain and body going, that we see later, like her visor is not just something that helps her eyes. It's embedded into the back of her head. Like her brain is electronic at this point. It's like a computer chip that's got to plug in. And all she does is mention something about an accident, but we don't know much more than that.
No. One of the things she said is ever since her accident, Fern always assumed I could do anything she could. Like I'm not different. But I am different. Pretending I can run around on a freezing cold moon through a bunch of steam, climb a cliff after days without maintenance, that's just not reality. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I have to say this on Fern's behalf, Fern, I don't believe, has these expectations because she wants KB to feel like she just expects it. I think she doesn't want to treat KB as being different because she doesn't want KB to feel that she's different.
Yeah. And it's an interesting concept. Like it's a kind of not even a metaphor. It's specifically just a good example of like disabilities, you know, people with disabilities in our lives and things like that you kind of meet. Where this is kind of this line, because you think, because even Wim is like, well, that's good, isn't it? That she doesn't treat you differently. And there's that line of like, you don't want to be looked down on or treated differently in certain ways. But at the same time, it also bothers her. It feels like, but Fern also acts like I can do all the things that she does when she knows I can't. Mm-hmm. And it also puts this pressure on me to try to keep up. And so it's like the way to really show her love the way that she needs is to not treat her differently in any negative ways, but to also be
aware,
helpful and aware, and make sure that the way that you are treating her isn't necessarily, again, like that she's like lower or incapable of certain things, but also like to be mindful of what her limitations are and respectful of those.
Yeah.
And that's where Fern has, or KB's kind of been sitting with this feeling like Fern isn't being respectful of a lot of her limitations as well.
Yeah. And again, I wonder how much KB has shared with Fern. Right. Because Wim says, why can't you just tell her? And KB says she doesn't have the patience for it. You know her. She's like, then I'll have zero friends again. And that is when, oh my goodness. You can just be friends with me and Neil.
Yeah, it was really well done. I could see some people being frustrated with it. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who like works with kids this age, they're complex. And mm-hmm. a lot of the things that they say versus the things that they do don't make sense. And mm-mm. That's fine. And so I could really kind of break it down looking at it through that lens. Where it's like, yeah, Fern's done a great job as leader at times, but it has left KB feeling unheard. Mm-hmm. There's these moments where like little things boil over and it may look super dramatic out of nowhere shift, but it's highly realistic. People do it all the time, especially kids, where, you know, it's sudden and brash and it's just like things are fine. And then all of a sudden something that's been eating away at them that you didn't even know about, boom, it snaps. And there mm-hmm. they go. And they're like, why didn't you blah, 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 blah. It's like, because you didn't talk to me about that at all. But that's so normal. And it's not just kids, adults, people in general. It's a human thing. Like,
yeah, I think sometimes little things can eat at you and then you think that it's not bothering you. And later on, something will remind you of it and you get all riled up about it again. And it's like, mm-hmm. this is, you know, why am I irritated? Why is this happening? And then you blow up over something that has nothing to do with what it looked like you were blowing up about. Like, it's really difficult.
Like, part of it is because when Fern walks over and like the first thing she says is like, well, I don't think Wim's going to go for the climbing plan, so you're going to need to have my back and convince him. And she's like, that's one of the things that like sets her off. She's like, I never said I agreed with you. It's like, you just assume mm-hmm. that I'm already on your side and you have the right plan and I'm going to just go with you. And you can tell like Fern's been doing that for a long time, just assuming KB agrees with her on everything she says. And finally something boiled over and KB was like, hold on, do you have a moment to listen to what I ever want? And then it goes from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was really good while Wim and KB are having these moments for Neil and Fern to be on their own adventure, because I think it helped make things KB said to her resonate more. And there's one part, though, before we talk about Fern and Neil. KB, I thought she was shutting down. And mm-hmm. then she rebooted and jumped up like nothing had ever happened.
Yeah, man. That whole scene there. I mean, because Wim sees that junked droid and he's thinking of 33. And luckily, those droid parts are exactly what he needs. Because, yeah, the corroded Augs have crashed out. As KB mentions, total system shutdown. Which is imminent at that point. Yeah, it's horrifying. And of course, she doesn't say that until after Wim has saved her life, which is like, that's probably good thinking. It's a lot of pressure for the kid.
He was already pretty nervous about having to do these things.
Yeah, but she does. She, as you said, like, talks him through the process of replacing the microfuse, making a new one, getting her all reset. At least for now, I feel like she's definitely going to need some more serious work and maintenance at home. But
yeah,
it's a great temporary fix. But that whole scene hit me so hard emotionally. I cried so much. I'm not even going to be afraid to say it. And it's just like, I thought maybe it's because I'd been drinking quite a lot because it was New Year's Eve when I watched on my first watch. And I was like, I'm quite tipsy. That's probably why I'm so emotional. But no, second fully sober watch and I'm still crying through this whole scene. So bravo, I guess. It was just hard to see KB like that, where she's mm-hmm. just slowly fading. But also, she's putting so much faith in her new friend, Wim, mm-hmm. and opening up to him about some really vulnerable and honest things about herself. And it was so touching and so powerful. So I was like, okay, great job, John Watts. You've made me care for these characters this deeply. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And then KB at the end, like, when she pops up and then lets him know, it's like, oh, you completely saved my life. Like,
yeah,
that was going to be it. I was going to be total shutdown. Mm-hmm. And then calling him Jedi. And my heart couldn't handle it. That's when I went on to Blue Sky, as I mentioned. I just said, so yeah, thank you and how dare you to John Watts, Christopher Ford, Bryce Dallas Howard, Ravi Cabot-Conyers, Kiriana Cratter, anyone else responsible for my emotional state during this scene. Anyway, thanks, Jedi.
Yeah, it definitely brought the feels. And we kind of have talked about it a little bit. Bryce Dallas Howard, I think she knows how to pull things out of scenes when she's directing, and I think she should definitely be directing as much as they want her to. If there is a season two, please. I mean,
she's done some work with The Mandalorian. She has proven herself that she knows how to write episodes and character interactions that really bring a lot of heart and humanity into the world of Star Wars. And after this episode, I did see a lot of kind of support online for people finally being like, give her her own movie. Give her a Star Wars movie. Let's go.
Can we get the Skeleton Crew movie, Paik?
I would love that.
If they don't want to give us another season, can we get the movie?
Right.
I mean, they're kids now, but I could see, you know, 10 years down the road, they'd be adults. And I mean, come on. I would watch. I'd be totally all in.
Yeah.
I did love that she said to him, you probably thought it would be more exciting to save someone's life.
Yeah. That's, he's like, wait, what?
And he's just like in shock that that was how serious it was. But I also feel like some of the things she said to him, she's never said to Fern.
Probably, yeah.
And
the patience and faith and trust that she gave towards him was incredible.
It was. I mean, she didn't know where they were going, what was going to happen. She just knew that she couldn't go where Fern was going. Mm-hmm. And she was right. Because the thought of her having a full system shut down while trying to climb up a metal ladder that wasn't a ladder.
Yeah. The fear underneath that argument and everything we've talked about, she knew her systems were going to fail her on the climb. As we saw, she had a crash pretty soon later. She knew it was around the bend, so she was scared or embarrassed, whatever, to admit that to Fern, for whatever reasons that she talks about with Wim, and a lot of it is just, like, fear of being seen as helpless or a burden. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that, she wants her limits to be considered, like we said, but she doesn't want to be looked at as a burden. And again, it goes back to what I was saying. I was like, it's a lot of seemingly opposing and complex emotions, but so that's not just kids, but that's humans for you. That's what we do well, is complex and seemingly opposing emotions all the time.
Yeah, it's one thing, I think, to watch adults go through some of these conversations, but to see kids go through it in their, because they're little humans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're little humans. To get to see them go through some of these conversations, honestly, I watched it and thought, wow, how things would be so much easier if we just looked at it the way that kids do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Solve our problems like they do. Let's think about helping each other and kindness, really.
And then just little thing, KB and her, now we know, literal computer brain. Because I was always thinking, like, computer brain. It's like, oh, it literally, she does. But I love that comes into handy in this episode. I mean, she has the coordinates to AT-ATN downloaded and ready to go, basically. Of course she does. It's like, so if they can get to the ship, they can get home. And then when they get back in the ship, and it's like, does anybody know how to start this thing up? And she's like, I think I remember watching Jod and 33 doing it. And beep, then just beep, immediately beep, has beep, this, beep, like, complex system of, like, you know, what buttons to hit and switches to flip in what order. And it's like, oh, yeah, computer brain. She's got this.
That was amazing. Because we see her go from almost a total system shutdown to being the queen of the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about piloting. It's about turning the thing on and getting it to run.
Yeah.
But the other thing that stood out to me in that scene is it took all of them to really attack the problems they were facing with trying to get the ship to take off.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another point, I guess we can just do
another one. Yeah.
Is just called Claimsies on the new ship.
I loved that because it's a tie back right to the, you know, the beginning. Should we just go there?
I think so.
Want to go there? Okay.
It seems
go there. Jod's going to be last.
We'll just get to him when we get to him. Yeah. Cause it all connects with these. We'll follow them. Yeah. Is getting back into the ship, and then it's been taken down to this dump, and then this, like, giant, I don't even know, like, shredder machine robot thing that just junk destroyer is going to take the ship completely. So they...
I thought it was an updated trash compactor.
Yeah, kind of. A big mobile compactor in the dump. But yeah, they upgraded. Kick it into gear.
Yeah, they've upgraded from what they had back in, what was it, 77? Yeah.
Yeah, they kick into gear. They got to go save their ship to get it free and escape. And they just kick into gear also. It reminds me, I mean, they even call it out, is when they were on that moon where they met Kim and then the X-Wings show up and Jod's getting them to, like, run out of there and escape the X-Wings. And they kind of know their roles. Like, it's like, okay, Neil, back on controls. KB is going to run over to the power source there with her tried and true bang on it and get it running technique. Once again, Wim's got a good excuse to get back on the guns. But you see how they just, like, find their, like, places.
Yep.
Get into motion. It was like, these kids have definitely evolved from the meek little dreamers of AT-ATTEN that we first met.
Oh my gosh. I think they've all been bit by the adventuring bug with Wim. And they're embracing it because I think, too, they have hope because they think that they can get home. They're close to getting home.
Yeah.
They know where they need to go. And I loved that they got to press the button that no one was supposed to press.
Yeah, it was, I mean, from the moment SM-33 said, never, ever, ever touch that button, it's like, well, you know it's just a matter of time until the emergency hole demolition sequencer is going to come into play. And where they're at, I mean, Fern is like, we have to do something because they're getting pulled into this compactor. The ship is not coming free and it's rocking a hard place. Go for broke. Doomed if you don't. You know, like, we have to do something. And this whole, like, that the button that, you know, 33 said never touch. And KB's even like, he said never, ever, ever. But it's dire. So it's like, let's see what happens. You know, screw it. And it was cool because it does. It blows off the hull of the ship and peels it away like a snake skin. Just revealing this sleek and super wizard onyx cinder underneath. They've got no extra protection, hardware, weaponry, but it'll fly. And it looks really cool amazing now.
It looks like the appropriate starship for four precocious kids.
Yes. Claims he's on the new ship. I was like, oh, yep. Beat me to it.
Knew he was going to do that. She's the captain now. I mean, I don't know. Is Wim the captain? Or did Fern take it? Is she the captain now?
I mean, she never hasn't been, I guess. Except for, I guess Jod was technically a captain as far as SM-33 knew, but that was between times they were ever on the ship. So
yeah, so no.
Fern's always been the captain if they're on the ship, I guess.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about Fern and Neil. The one thing that I didn't bring up, but I wanted to mention, was I think what kind of helped Fern get to understand things is that Neil said not everyone can do things the way that you can.
Yeah.
Because his legs were shorter. He couldn't be climbing up that, you know, scaling that wall of metal. It's not like climbing a ladder. Because it really wasn't a ladder. It was, they made it a ladder. And I think that really helped Fern get to the point of, okay, you know, I've got to really be thinking about how I'm treating KB.
Yeah, I'm sure with Neil saying that she's also thinking of like, oh no. It's like, is that why KB stayed back? Like, I'm sure she's thinking about that. It's like, like, I'm hoping she's having that little, like, breakthrough mentally within her own head of, like, oh, I should have taken that into consideration with KB. And you said when they reunite again, it's that, like, I'm so sorry, and you're my best friend. I love that.
I know. It just, sometimes you need little things like that to happen to pull you back in and make you realize just how much you mean to each other.
Yeah, I think last... like notes that I could have is Jod and the pirates, the little bit of stuff we get there. Really only other thing in this episode that's not the kids, just a few little things to talk about as we see him climbing out of the tunnels.
That was hilarious.
Just right up to Gunter and the pirates coming back around and waiting on him.
Gunter lives.
Yes, I knew it. Of course. Can't have him die in an acid bath off screen. That's not how that works.
No.
Of course he's going to come back. They took his lightsaber, which I feel pretty confident that he'll get that back in due time. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. And then 33. He tried to come up and come to the aid of his new captain. I'll applaud him for that. His attack wasn't super successful, but, you know, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah. I thought his attempts at talking to each of the people to get them on his side were interesting.
Jod's, yeah.
We got a little bit more of his connection with some of the crewmates.
Yeah, which, I mean, because he was the captain of that crew mm-hmm. before the mutiny and Brutus took over and threw him into jail back on the other port there, that pirate port. And yeah, so Brutus sentences Silvo / Jod / Jack / Dash / Zank / whoever else he is to death by airlock.
Is that like walking the plank in space?
Yeah, I guess that's the, like, that's the starship version of that.
I mean, because I feel like something like that happened in Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of thinking, okay, this is spaceship pirates walking the plank. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they got.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but there's the pirate's code that allows him the right of last appeal. And I guess that equal time counter argument for why he shouldn't be sentenced to death. And he makes this big speech about how he can lead them all to the true treasure of Ad-Atten. Tak Rinnad died for it, and he has the coordinates and proof of the credits, and even includes a nice little space shanty. So that was nice.
Yes, he's very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Great speech. Some of the pirate crew, I just, like, pointed out a few, like, really two that I noticed this episode. The older woman that was the first one that mentions the Rite of Last Appeal is a character named Chaelt, which is played by Dale Soles, who I immediately recognized and looked at, and that is Frida from Orange is the New Black. I loved her so much.
Okay, I've never watched Orange is the New Black.
Should get on that. That was a great show. And then Kona is the other one that he's talking about, who said, he says, sorry, I failed you. You should have your own, you know, ship by now, or, you know, multiple crews and all this. At first watch, I thought she looked a little bit like Rachel House, if anybody knows who that is. She's a New Zealand actress who's a regular in pretty much any Taika Waititi project. And I was like, is that who that is? And then the more I looked at it, I was like, no, it's not her. But then I was like, I got like that little thought. I was like, well, who is that then? Is it somebody? And so I looked it up, and Kona is played by Cissa Gray, who coincidentally was also in the recent Taika Waititi project, Next Goal Wins. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
So
I've seen her. All the world of Taika.
Yeah.
It's all interconnected.
Yes. And then Jod dropping the K word.
Yes.
I didn't have this exact line. I don't know why I didn't put the exact line down. Just that he did. It was like, it's like you can have the whole Criffin galaxy or something. Which, that's Star Wars for something else, for sure. but yeah, Brutus, I don't know. It still threatening. Is like, if this treasure at Ad-Atten you're talking about doesn't work out, you still know it's waiting for you with the airlock. And I don't know, it seems a little bit much to, you know, blast your own supplies out of the airlock to make a point.
Yeah, it seems quite wasteful.
But okay, Brutus.
You know what? I don't think Brutus is the sharpest tool in the shed.
No. And that's what Jod says in his kind of dialogue there, right? He says, Brutus makes a very capable first mate.
Yes.
If you want to stick with him, you will get meager rewards. But if you stick with me, and I love how, like, even when he says that, the whole crew right there in front of Brutus is like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, you're right.
Well, because they've had some time under Brutus, and what has he gotten them?
Mm-hmm.
They've just been chasing after Jod.
Fight with a bunch of preteens in a port. That's what he's gotten.
Yeah. You went to the spa and you didn't even have any time to relax. If you were lucky, though, you didn't get an acid bath.
Yeah.
I think those were all of my notes. Did you have anything else?
I didn't. That was, again, pretty easy to cover. There's really a big A story and then the little B story with Jod. And that's all this episode really had. There wasn't a lot. So, like I said, the shortest of the season. but not bad by any means. I think they crammed a lot of really important character stuff in those 34 minutes, for sure.
Definitely. We'll be back in a few minutes with some listener feedback.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. Some of y'all might have heard I made the cross-country move from LA to New York last year, and Wayfair has definitely helped me create the feeling of home wherever I am. I love a cozy couch and a comfy living room that feels like our little sanctuary for our family. And I love vases, I love candles, I love anything that kind of makes you feel at home and peaceful. Anyway, something about me is I love options when it comes to making my home more me. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. Everyone loves a good deal. I mean, who does not want free and fast and easy delivery? Come on. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When we feel stuck, it can be hard to picture what's possible in the new year. But sometimes a small change, like refreshing your dinner routine, can make a big difference in your day-to-day. Cook Unity makes it easy to reset your meal habits with a variety of vibrant, healthy meals crafted by award-winning chefs. The chefs you see on TV and in five-star kitchens are the chefs who craft each small batch meal, and they're delivered directly to your door, ready to enjoy. There's no cooking required, and it's way healthier and cheaper than other delivery options. Experience the convenience of dishes made from local, in-season ingredients delivered straight to your door. It's an effortless way to savor high-quality, chef-prepared meals while feeling good about what you eat. Take a step toward a fresh start with Cook Unity, chef-crafted meals designed with you in mind. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout to get 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week at cookunity.com/podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. We have some listener feedback. Our good friend Steve sent us a live Steve for episodes 4 and 5.
Yay. So nothing for this week, but again, holiday week. As you hear, we're a little bit behind, so we can't give you any grief for anybody else being a little behind, because that's just how it is rolling.
How it worked out.
Yeah. But we got, yeah, live Steve's for some other episodes.
Hello, Skeleton Crew cast. This is Steve, and I've just got a comment on episode 4. I'm not going to live Steve it, but have they wandered onto the Hunger Games planet? Okay, it's not the Hunger Games planet. It's the French underground planet, except with kid soldiers, whoever this adult is. Oh, little Neil sliding up to this French girl. He's got game. But now they're back with the rest of the kids. And what? Captain Fern is going to lead her crew into battle? What? Hey, this is real smart. They're letting the rookies walk point. I don't understand that. Scout ahead. How did Captain Crimson Red, what's his name, find the antler eels? What are these animals? I guess I am live Steve in this. So he bought the herd with credits that he stole from the crew. Oh, Neil got a kiss out of it. But of course, Hane is going away. Battlefield romances, they never work. Oh, did she just do a flip before walking away? He can't remember that he destroyed the coordinates. He keeps saying, I can't say I remember no At-Aden. That doesn't mean he doesn't know At-Aden. Oh, Fern figured out, and now the droid wants to pull her apart. The droid has an off switch. Right, on to episode 5. Okay, so now we're going to question the droid while it's all tied up. Oh, and meanwhile, back on At-Aden, they're still looking for the kids. Successfully, I might add. Okay, so this is a legendary pirate ship by the dread Captain Roberts. Wait, no. Captain Ty Redondo, Tay Redeem, whatever. Okay, so we just yada yada getting back to their ship and flying away from this battlefield war planet. And we're back to Lost in Space with kids as going to Skull Island. What? Skull? Wait. So they're on some pleasure planet that's adults only. So they're on Skull Ridge Mountain, not Skull Island. That's Godzilla. How many names does this guy have? And how much money does he have to bribe with on this pleasure planet? Okay, this kind of large creature. That, are you an assassin? So this monster has a name. What do you say? Quithop? If we entertain him, he'll help us. Apparently, everybody knows Jod, except the receptionist girl, and they don't trust him. While the bad guy's ship arrives, and he is definitely not keeping the peace. Oh, so the word treasure was the whatever code to make the acid drain, but now the pirates have found him. Oh, did he just kill all those guards by flooding that chamber with acid? Ooh, so Joe just challenged Captain Fern, and Fern picked up this is a fight. Wynn found a lightsaber, but he just threw it across the floor. Ooh, the old escape through the trap door trick. And now Jod has a lightsaber. On to episode 6. I'm going to send this in. It's less than 3 minutes, so hopefully you can play it.
That was fun to relive some older episodes that we watched over the last couple weeks. Back with you, Steve. And hopefully we'll hear your thoughts on episode 6 pretty soon.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, that is our show, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Next episode is Skeleton Crew Season 1, Episode 7.
Yeah, so if you want to leave any feedback, messages, thoughts on Episode 7 next week, or anything for this week a little late, that's fine. We'll still play it. We'll read it, whatever. You can find all the contact information you need over at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. Well, I really am digging Welcome to the Apocalypse.
Absolutely.
And they dropped a new one this week, Lizzie and the Big Performance. There is a Yellow Jacket Season 3 trailer breakdown that myself, Wendy, and Penny did.
And Squid Game Season 2 is out and getting weekly coverage over on Squid Game Cast, so definitely check that out. There's 2 episodes out right now, I believe, so.
Yes.
We'll check that out. Yeah. Some fun stuff going out on Podcastica, so definitely check out a lot of the great shows. I think Cobra Kai might have either just wrapped up or maybe have one more. So yeah, a lot of good shows that are going on that they're covering new seasons of, and then I think Penny and Kara have been back with some Buffy stuff over on Still Slaying, so you can definitely check that one out as well if you're a Buffy fan. And yeah, a lot of good stuff. All the great TV shows. Well, all right. Once again, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Stay wizard. Thank you.
all, it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.